Good evening, everyone. This is David McManus from Berean Baptist Church coming to you with a News and Focus commentary. Got back into the office today after a little bit of a vacation and was looking for an article to do a News and Focus on, and I had trouble finding one that really jumped out at me. Had trouble finding one that I thought was worthy. And then after work today, I came across this one that somebody had posted. And I think it's excellent, and I think it's worth talking about. And it's kind of in my wheelhouse a little bit, so I thought I'd go ahead and take a shot at it. This is on the Gospel Coalition. It's by Trevin Wax. He's got a blog on the Gospel Coalition, and the title is Evangelicals and Hollywood Muck. And this is posted January 6th, 12:10 a.m., so early this morning. And he says, I grew up in a fundamentalist environment. The church I was baptized in believed it was inappropriate for Christians to go to a movie theater. To this day, my grandparents maintain this standard as a bulwark against worldliness. So that spoke to me right off the bat, because that's not the world I grew up in, but I know many people here at Berean, and maybe at your church as well, grew up in that environment as well and still maintain that standard. They still maintain that observance when it comes to movies. So I thought this was interesting. The library at my Christian school had a variety of books for children, sanitized for Christian consumption. Encyclopedia Brown made the cut, but all the goshes and gee whizzes were marked out with a heavy black pen. No secondhand cursing allowed. Films without anything objectionable were allowed at the school, but looking back, I see how this analysis was applied simplistically. I still remember watching an old version of The Secret Garden, a movie with no cursing, thank goodness, but with a pseudo-pantheistic worldview that healing power is pulsating through all living things. As a teenager, I discovered the work of Chuck Colson, Francis Schaeffer, and C.S. Lewis. These men had a different perspective on art and its merits. I began to see artistic analysis differently. I realized Disney movies weren't safe just because they were clean, and PG-13 movies weren't bad just because they had language or violence. It was possible to watch a movie with a critical eye for the underlying worldview. And I couldn't agree with him more. If you've heard some of my previous podcasts or maybe listened to some of the stuff I've done with the young people here at the church, I absolutely agree with that. Now, you know, I'm an English nerd. You know, I'm a history guy. I love that stuff. That's what I've studied all through school before I got to the ministry. So I love novels. I love Shakespeare. I love those things, and it draws me to the arts in general. You know, I love the theater. There are movies that I really enjoy. Now, granted, I didn't grow up in the environment that Trevin did, but I can obviously see the movies that I was inundated with when I was younger. And the movies that I may choose to watch now, that there's a big difference. But I think his point of just because it's G-rated, it's safe, is very good. Why would we use, and I've said this before, why would we use the world's rating system to justify what we watch? There's plenty of garbage in G and PG movies, and there are plenty of redeemable things that pop up in a PG-13 or an R movie. The Passion of the Christ was rated R. You know, and so we've got things like that you can garner some positives from, and the world's definitions aren't exactly what we should base those things on. Now, granted, there are audience qualifications. There are things that young people shouldn't be watching. I get it. So don't send me an email telling me I'm wrong because I'm telling you everybody should watch our movies. That's not what I'm saying. But I think we should judge things on its merit and judge our own standards on Scripture, on what God has given us. He says, I never subscribed to the fundamentalist vision that saw holiness in terms of cultural retreat or worldliness as anything that smacked of cultural engagement. I don't subscribe to that position today. Now, I think, and I've said this again before, that one of the faulty responses that we have is that that monastery mentality. We sequester ourselves off from anything. Now, I'm all for shelter. I'm all for protection. But I don't think isolation is what Scripture calls us to do. I don't think inundation is either. I don't think assimilation is either. But I don't think isolation is as well. So I think there's something to be learned here. And this is what he says, and I think this is what really hits home. He says, but sometimes I wonder if evangelicals have swung the pendulum too far to the other side, to the point where all sorts of entertainment choices are validated in the name of cultural engagement. And I think that's what's convicting for me. You know, have we swung so far from the legalism, from the isolationism on one side, to now we are going to watch everything in the name of cultural engagement. I think that's an excellent point. I think it's something we need to discuss. I think it's something that we need to be aware of. Because as much as I'm for cultural engagement, as much as I'm for having a Christian worldview that can combat the ideas that we see in these movies and TV shows, that doesn't mean I need to be watching all these movies and TV shows. I can tell based on an advertisement. I can tell based on a movie poster sometimes that that's not a movie that I need to engage in. There's no engagement to be had there. It's filth and I don't need to be there. You know, it's different if we've got, okay, this is true in this movie, but this is not true, but it had this message of redemption. He talks about Les Miserables here in a second. I think that's an example of that. I can get some positive, I can get some biblical ideas from that. But then there are other movies like ones he's going to discuss here that have no redeeming value, and yet we're going to watch those based on cultural engagement. I'm not sure that we can justify that from a scriptural perspective. He says, generally speaking, I enjoy the movie reviews I read in Christianity Today and World Magazine. They go beyond counting cuss words or flagging objectionable content and offer substantive analysis of a movie's overall message. But in recent years, I've begun to wonder if we're more open than we should be to whatever Hollywood puts out. Take, for example, Christianity Today's recent review of The Wolf of Wall Street. You may have seen ads for this. This is Leonardo DiCaprio's new movie. Martin Scorsese directed it. It's getting all kinds of acclaim throughout the internet and different places like that. And he says, and I think this is really interesting, interesting not in a good way, but interesting. He says, Alyssa Wilkinson, this is in Christianity Today, I guess she's the reviewer. Alyssa Wilkinson devotes nearly half of her review to the graphic depictions of immorality, yet still gives the film 3.5 stars out of 4. So how do you talk about a movie that's full of sex and drugs and you're going to give it 3.5 stars out of 4? Sounds like she's using the world's definition, because it is critically acclaimed. It is well done. It's well produced. It's got great visuals. Da, da, da. Yeah, but it's full of filth. So how do I give it 3.5 stars out of 4? Another review counts 22 sex scenes, but can't be sure since it's hard to tell when one ends and another begins. And yet we've got a review in Christianity Today that gives it 3.5 stars out of 4. I think our writer here is right on point. Have we sacrificed scriptural standards for recognition of worldly things? My question is, at what point do we consider a film irredeemable or at least unwatchable? At what point do we say it's wrong to participate in certain forms of entertainment? I understand there are complexities to this issue. Some Christians disagreed with the praise showered on the recent Les Miserables film. I'm among the number who thought Les Mis showcased the glory of redemption. I am too, by the way. It was a movie in which the sordid elements only served to accentuate the beauty of grace and the dehumanizing nature of sin. Les Miserables is not unlike the accounts we read in our Bibles. Sexual immorality, rape, violence are all part and parcel of the scriptural narrative. If a movie version of the book of Genesis were made, it wouldn't be for minors. It seems silly to cross out cuss words from Encyclopedia Brown when first graders can discover some pretty adult-themed events in their adventure Bibles. So please don't hear me advocating for a simplistic denunciation of Hollywood films. I'm not, but I'm concerned with that many evangelicals may be expending more energy in avoiding the appearance of being holier than thou than we do in avoiding evil itself. How good is that? You know, we are more concerned with looking too holy than we are about being holy. How about that? That gets me. Okay, that definitely gets me. Because again, I like movies. I like entertainment, and I love engaging it from a worldview perspective. It's a slippery slope in a way, because I don't think we should just send people out there, hey, engage the world. I think that's an absolutely terrible mistake, especially with our young people. But at the same time, I think they need to be prepared because they're going to be exposed to it. And so, shouldn't we have the strength, the intestinal fortitude, to stand up and say, you know what, I'm not going to watch that. You can say I'm a prude. You can say I'm closed-minded. You can say all that stuff, but I'm not going to watch that, because I don't care if you think I'm holier than thou. I need to maintain some holiness. And you know, the fact of the matter is, not in a bad sense, but if I'm not watching that movie, maybe I am acting holier than thou, and maybe that's not such a bad thing. Yes, Paul used a popular poet of his day in order to make a point in his gospel presentation. Cultural engagement is important and necessary. But church history shows us that for every culture engager, there's also a Gregory of Nyssa type who saw the entertainment mindset as decadent and deserving of judgment. Is there justification for viewing gratuitous violence or sexual content? At what point does our cultural engagement become just a sophisticated way of being worldly? Two big questions we should probably ask ourselves. Is there justification for viewing gratuitous violence or sexual content? And at what point does our cultural engagement become just a sophisticated way of becoming worldly? I find it hard to imagine the ancient Israelites admiring the artwork in the Asherah poles they were called to tear down. I find it hard to picture the early church fathers attending the games at the Roman Colosseum, praising the artistic merits of the arena, even as they provide caveats against violence. Yet now in the 21st century, we are expected to find redeemable qualities in what would only be described by people throughout church history as filth. What's the point in decrying the exploitation of women in strip clubs and mourning the enslavement of men to pornography when we unashamedly watch films that exploit and enslave? I do not claim to have all this figured out, but one thing I know, our pursuit of holiness must be the mark against which our pursuit of cultural engagement is measured. If, like me, you're conflicted about this issue, maybe it's because we should be. So I think there's some great things here. I think there's some great things to discuss. You know, can we approach this culture? Can we be in this world and not of this world? and still maintain our witness and still maintain our effectiveness without compromising our personal holiness, without compromising these standards that we have. I think this is something we should struggle with. I think it's something we should wrestle with. I think we should be a lot more selective in the entertainment, and I'm preaching to myself right now. I should be a lot more selective in the entertainment. I should not just chalk it up to I'm checking out Worldview, because I've done that before. I can honestly tell you I've done that before, and I can because it's a passion of mine. I use movies in my youth ministry. I use clips, and we talk about the worldview that's being talked about. We talk about truths, and we talk about falsehoods, and we talk about lies, and we talk about redemption, and we talk about sin, and we talk about all those things that movies do such a great job of portraying sometimes. But maybe sometimes they don't do a great job of portraying it. Maybe they just do a great job of sucking us into a place where we don't want to be. I preached in chapel today on Jude, and Jude says in verse 23 that with some people, with some unbelievers that we deal with, we need to approach them with mercy in fear. Think about that. We need to approach them with mercy in fear. So do we love them? Yes. Do we share the gospel with them? Yes, but we're very careful because when you put yourself into their world, you can become contaminated very quickly. The image that Jude uses is hating the garment that's been stained by the flesh or been spotted by the flesh. It's like putting on a leper's coat. None of us would want to wear a leper's coat. That's disgusting. We would be infected by whatever the diseased person has. So isn't sin just that much as an infective thing? And so when we're around sin and we're around people that are participating in blatant sin, we can be easily contaminated by it. Not in a salvific sense, not like that, but we can be inundated with the dirt and the filth and the defilement and the bitterness and the hatred and the ugliness and all that stuff that comes along with sin. So I challenge you and I challenge myself, let's look at the entertainment that we call entertainment. Let's maybe hold this up to a different standard and see if we can't be not holier than thou, but holier than the world. That's my challenge for you tonight. I hope you have a good evening. If you have any questions or comments on this, please post them directly to the podcast or shoot me an email. Be glad to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. Bye.